You're listening to another ambitious EntrepreneurNetwork.com podcast, the voice for entrepreneurs and small business. Now, onto the show.
Welcome to the Christian Entrepreneurs Podcast, daily conversations with Christian entrepreneurs to inspire and empower Christian business owners to walk strongly in their faith, while build a thriving business that honors Him in every way. Now, over to your host, Anne Marie Cross.
And welcome to another episode of the Christian Entrepreneurs Podcast. This is episode 150, and I'm your host, Anne Marie Cross, the podcasting queen. Now, joining me on today's show is Sarah Boyd. For the past 10 years, Sarah has been running a business with her husband, teaching positive psychology to entrepreneurs as well as the corporate market. And recently, they launched Resilient Little Hearts with the mission to champion children to build resilience, courage, and kindness. Sarah and her husband's first children's book is launching this month. And on today's show, Sarah is going to share giving yourself permission to pursue your purpose. You can be gifted and called, but no one else will give you the permission. You have to give it to yourself. Absolutely. She's also going to talk about not everyone can see your potential or your vision before it is realized. So be aware of who you share this with, and also guard that seed while it's still forming. God has no limits on what's possible. She's also going to talk about what matters most to your success is how you deal with disappointment and failure. There are moments that can define a person, and the moments God refines us. So knowing how to rise again after a setback is so important, and so much more. Welcome to the show, Sarah.
Oh, thank you so much for having me today. I'm really honored to be here.
Oh, look, my pleasure. And as I mentioned earlier, before we pressed record, as I was going through the show notes today, and the fact that you and your husband are in the process of launching Resilient Little Hearts, championing children to build resilience, courage, and kindness, is so important. And I was just discussing a couple of weeks ago at the gym that children, unfortunately, are not being taught resilience. And they're really struggling as they're going to school and just being faced with so many challenges, unfortunately, that life puts in their way. So I'll certainly give you an opportunity to share more about that, how we can support you as that book launches. But tell us, what was the transition? What prompted you to now transition into opening up and launching Resilient Little Hearts?
Yeah, well, so probably for the past 10 years, my husband and I have been running kind of a business that teaches positive psychology to entrepreneurs in the corporate market. And my background is in psychology and neuroscience. And so the topics that I taught was essentially resilience. And so we'd go into a big company if they were going through a major change, and we'd take them through training and coaching in that area. But a few experiences happened to me, and one was one of those life-altering phone calls that you never expect to have. And in my late 20s, just as life was going along, I received one of those phone calls, and it was my doctor, and he called to tell me that I had cancer. And so in my late 20s, I spent about 18 months of going through treatment of surgery and radiation, and the fatigue was crazy. But I think more than anything else, that experience was a wake-up call. And, you know, even if you've never been through cancer, I know many people can relate to that type of experience in your life. And I started to feel very confronted with my mortality. And I knew, because I'm a Christian, that my relationship with God was in a good place, but how I was showing up in this life, I wasn't happy with. I wasn't being all that I knew that I could be. I wasn't being brave. And so it was that experience that really caused me to go into a deep reflection. And a few years later, then we had children, and I have a 5-year-old boy and a 3-year-old girl. And becoming a mother was, again, like another life-altering experience, for lack of a better word. And those two things combined really made me realize that what I wanted to teach my children and the legacy that I wanted to leave with them, and what I wanted to equip them with, was how do you actually have the courage to go after all that God's called you to do? Mm-hmm. How do you have the resilience to get back up again after a setback, especially when you didn't expect it? And so it was the combination of all these things and these experiences that caused this passion in me to start this new venture, Resume Little Hearts.
Love that. Thank you for sharing. You know, sometimes the challenges and obstacles that God puts along our path can really jolt us into recognizing things such as you've just shared today. And the fact that now you have beautiful children and now really pursuing this area, which it really sounds as another area that you're really passionate about. Many of us never really get to that. So let's talk about giving yourself permission to pursue your purpose. If you look back, was it because maybe there were areas that you weren't giving yourself permission to? What was that coming up for you, and which is why it's so important you want to share today?
Yeah, that was one of the biggest shifts that I had through my cancer experience, that I really wasn't giving myself permission. And that came because of a lot of things, you know, but I think at the core of it was a debilitating fear of what people think. Mm. And I was so scared of people's judgments of me. And not, you know, everyone always says, oh, no, I'm scared of their judgments, but I was actually paralyzed. Like, there were specific things that I really wanted to do but didn't think I could do because I was terrified of people's opinions. And I was also, I think sometimes we can get caught up in this thinking, I was just expecting that one day something would just happen, you know, like someone would come along and recognize this potential in me, or someone, you know, would say, do you know what? I actually think you've got this vision in you that needs to come out. And they would almost be the person or the thing or the event that would allow me. And I was kind of waiting. When's that time? Until I came to the realization that time never comes. And when God puts something in your heart, it's actually your responsibility to steward it. And whether it's an idea for a business, or whether it's a prompting to do something else or to help someone, whatever it is, we have the responsibility when we're prompted that way to move forward.
We so are. So take us back to that time. And I think there's nothing more like a wake-up call, if you will, when there's a situation of life and death, isn't there? When you think, you know what, my life through this phone call, I've got some serious choices. I would imagine at that time, all of those, the fear was kind of like, you know what, so what, I'm moving forward. What are some things that you went through then to help you really define, you know what I want to do is really speak into the life, hope, possibility, but champion young children? Was that something that you'd thought about for a while? Why I asked that question? Or if it wasn't, what were some of the things that you did to help you recognize what that purpose was? Because that's a question I often get asked. All right, I know that I've been called to do bigger things, but I don't yet know what that is. What are some insights you've learned?
So I'm a very big journaler. I am fanatical about it. I believe that it's very, very helpful. And so I spent a lot of time journaling about, you know, if this was the end of my life. And I think exactly like you said, what I experienced was not so much all of a sudden the fear of people's opinions went away, because it didn't, but I discovered a different fear, which was, you know, regret. Yes. And so that is a bigger driver than actually the fear of other people's opinions. And so for me, the way I kind of found my purpose of where I wanted to go next was a lot of journaling about, you know, if this was the end, what do I have regrets about? I had regrets about some purpose things. I even had regrets about other things, like, oh, I didn't get to travel enough, or I didn't do certain, you know, whatever it was. And I just kept listing all of them down, and the regrets that I was feeling. And for me, a big theme that was coming up for me personally is I felt very called to write and have my whole life. And so that was one thing that came out. This conversation around resilience was birthing a passion in me. I wanted to talk about it with everyone. I felt like people didn't understand it properly. I felt like it's misunderstood. And I was very passionate about it, angry about it, you know, knew how important it was, and felt very driven that people didn't know about it enough. Yes. And so I think those things are often indicators, you know. I think back to what's unfolding now, and they really are things that I always, as a little girl, before you kind of do quote unquote, the right things to do, were the things that I was passionate about. And then it's the things that make you frustrated.
Yes.
But for some people, you're very aware of your purpose. For other people, I think it's a step-by-step journey of just trusting God as you walk out, that you, as you take the next step, it's going to open up.
Yeah, and I think what I'm hearing and what I'm sensing from a number of people now that I've interviewed is that it can become between, you know, a combination, if you will, between what you're passionate about and what pees you off, kind of that centre right there can be that thing. But also, too, it's different for everybody, and it may be that there's been certain seasons and experiences that God has, you know, you've been going through, and you've just incredibly built a lot of wealth and knowledge, that a culmination of that now allows you to speak into that particular area. Now, I love what you said. There were some people that you shared this with, and they just didn't get it. They didn't understand it. But one of the things that you said, and I'd love to speak a bit more about this, is not everyone is going to see the potential or the vision before it is realized. Sharing it with the right people is so important, because they can sometimes squash your dreams and vision before it even really gets to that building of momentum, yes?
Absolutely. I'm so passionate about this. I always say not many people can see a tree within a seed. I think it's easier to recognize potential once it's started to grow, but when it's in seed form, as in there's no signs yet of growth, not many people have the gift of being able to see it and cultivate it. And one of the things that I think we learn this lesson in the Bible with Joseph. You know, if you share your dream with the wrong people too early, there's going to be consequences. And, yes. You know, God can use it anyway. But I know for me, I made the mistake. I shared too early with certain people, and their responses weren't positive about different things that I wanted to do, and to the point that it really put me off for a long time. And so I think you have to really trust that what's in you, and actually see it. I think the easiest time for a seed to die is in seed form. Mm. It's a lot harder for it to die once it's started to grow. And so I'm very passionate about our internal world and those ideas that we have and those promptings that we have, of giving them time and space and encouragement to grow, and sharing them with the right people at the right time. And then the rest of the world, because it's not that people are mean-hearted, it's actually just that they don't see it. And so a lot of the times, you know, when it gets to, say, to use the tree metaphor, a shrub, they'll say, oh, I always knew that you could, you know, do something like this, I've always seen that in you. But the truth is, they've only really seen it as you've taken steps towards it. And so, especially in those really early beginning stages, and I think what that comes down to is like, what lights you up? What is it that you look at? You know, sometimes I think we can think that the feeling of jealousy and envy is just a negative emotion that serves no purpose. But I actually believe, as much as we don't want to sit in jealousy and envy, it's sometimes a signal of what is meant for you. I never, ever watch sporting events and think, wow, I'm really jealous that I can't, you know, run an Olympic race. It just doesn't come up for me. But when I see people doing things that I actually want to do, and that spark comes up in me, we've kind of got the choice there. Do we see it as a sign that it's actually something that maybe God's igniting in us? Or do we see it as something, you know, oh, well, it's all about them and I'm going to be jealous about it? And so all of those signs, just like you said before, the anger or the passion, but even the jealousy sometimes, can actually be a signal that's something that might be meant for you.
Yeah, so important. You know, and you said something else I want to dive into a little bit deeper, is surround yourself with the right people and share it only with those people who are going to support you. What were some of the things that you did to recognize the people that you wanted to draw near and therefore share? Because sometimes, you know, as your ideas are forming and it is in seed form, having the right people around you as a sounding board can take your idea and really expand on it in areas that you really didn't think of at the time. So that's important too. What were some of the things that you did that really helped you create that community?
Yeah, so I think you've got kind of your safe relationships, you know, your cheerleaders, the people that will encourage you no matter what, and they will be people that will protect the dream, but not necessarily the growers of it. And then I think to seek out, I've always intentionally sought out people who are seeing great success in the area that I'm wanting to see. So, you know, whether it's business, what type of business you run, is there someone that's further along the journey with the type of business that you want, or doing it in the way that you want? I think that's really important, because there are so many different ways to do so many different things. And if you don't get clear on what that might look like for you, but at the same time, if you can get yourself in those environments and get yourself around people who think bigger, believe bigger, it's amazing what happens when our minds don't actually believe something's possible, and then we see someone doing it. And whether it is a platform level, or an income level or an expansion or helping people level, and all of a sudden you go, oh, I didn't even know that was possible, mm-hmm. and it's someone's normal life, all of a sudden it does something psychologically where you actually think, well, if it can happen for them, it can happen for me.
Yes, that then becomes your new normal, or at least the goal now that you are stretching yourself. It's so, so very important. Let's talk about dealing with disappointments, and I think this is really where that muscle of resilience, even for adults, is so important. Yet, unfortunately, I think even when you hear of some of the things that are happening around us, it's not building up that resilience. So what are some of the things that maybe even that you've learned and that you used to help your clients with that we really can support ourselves as we're building our business? Because let's face it, sometimes disappointments and failure are just part of taking action and realizing, well, you know what, that didn't work out so well. Let's move forward. But sometimes we get stuck in that. And we allow that failure to determine our destiny, in that we're not playing big, we're not taking that step, and we just shut our business down. What are some insights that you can share today?
Yeah, I totally agree with everything that you're saying. I think that running a business and being an entrepreneur is just basically you get better at failing and you fail quicker.
Yes.
What a lot of people don't know about resilience is people think that resilience is this capacity to just be strong and they never get emotionally affected and they never get down and they just power through anything that's happening, when in fact that is not resilience, that's just suppression.
Okay.
what resilience actually is a flexibility. Mm. So it's actually a normal, natural thing to experience negative emotions when something negative happens. And so if you didn't experience that, we would be concerned that you might be a sociopath. Mm. If you have a disappointment in a business or in a personal life or whatever, it's normal to feel upset about those things. It's then what you do with those emotions and how you recover. And so one of the things that we talk about in resilience, and it's the concept of bouncing back up. So it's not that you don't get knocked down. It's okay to be knocked down, but it's how do I bounce back up again? And a lot of times it really boils down to the meaning you are making about the situation. So our emotions and what we experience come down to the situation plus the meaning that we put on the situation. And that's the experience that we'll be having. So particularly in a business context, we can have the same situation and give it two different meanings and have two different experiences of that situation. Psychology calls this reframing. Mm-hmm. So for example, say you do a business launch and it fails. That's the situation. You can have a meaning on that I am a horrible business person and I'm a failure at business, and who I am is not good at this. Or you can have a meaning that says, well, that strategy didn't work. Maybe I needed to try a different way of doing it. And you're going to get two vastly different experiences. And so the meaning that we make about the experiences that we go through is vitally important.
Yeah, so true. I have a saying when it comes to launches, that what's worse than no one signing up, and that's one person signing up, because you know you have, and I've done that years ago when I was in the career industry. I launched this program, had one person sign up. You know what? I thought, I'm just going to do it, because luckily it wasn't face-to-face. It was all through teleseminar, and I ran through it. He gave me some really great feedback that allowed me to, I thought, oh, here we go. So anyway, but it's true. It's how you look at something. Do you find when you're talking about resilience that so many people, there is a lot more misunderstandings around that than, because, you know, how you put or whatever meaning you put to it is how you're going to react. Why do you think so many people struggle with that?
I think that there is a perception, and, you know, we get this in the business community, but everywhere, about wanting to appear strong and invincible and not kind of having gone through anything and not to be vulnerable, because vulnerability is weakness. And I think a lot of that's where the misunderstanding comes from. We see these people who are quote unquote successful and they look like they're fearless. They look like they go through something hard and it doesn't affect them. They look like, because that's the external thing that we're seeing, but we're not actually seeing what's happening in their internal world. And so that's why I always talk about, again, coming back to your internal world and what's going on there is what's most important, because it will eventually come out into your external world.
Yeah, so true. And you know what? you can really tell the difference between someone who is really being vulnerable and transparent, or in a very authentic way, and someone telling the story about where they really did struggle and the lessons they learned to really empower others to realize that, hey, you know, there have been obstacles and challenges, to the one where they try and make up stories, you know. But it's so important. I think we hear all of these, you know, I launched and then all of a sudden there are all these emails and bing, 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 you know, on my account. And look, that's great, but there have been years and years of hard work, tweaking, often behind the scenes. And, you know, I think that a lot more vulnerability and stories about things that we've learned is so empowering. And especially, I think, for young children too. Let's talk about some of the things around resilience for young children, because I think, you know, many of the listeners and viewers have got young children, and I think if we can impart some really great lessons to them and even model resilience to them as adults, then I think we can have such a happier workplace for sure, but a happier life for children and, of course, adults. What are some things that you can share today?
Yeah, well, I think part of where my passion comes from with this is it's just knowing that our children are growing up in a very different world than we grew up in ourselves. And the World Health Organization actually predicts that in the next 10 years, depression is going to be the leading cause of disability worldwide. That's more than cancer or heart disease. And what that means is someone's depression is so debilitating that they can't do normal everyday tasks. And I think, you know, sometimes we're unaware that our children are growing up in a world that is training them for comparison. And it's teaching them that to compare their own internal life with someone's external photos. It is teaching them that their worth is based on other people's approval and their success and their grades and their, you know, Instagram likes. And we're not having these conversations. We're focusing only on them, you know, developing good grades or athletic performances, and no one's actually also saying, hey, how you actually rise again from failure? How do you actually find your worth in something that is separate from other people's opinions? How do you actually have the courage to go after your dreams is really, really important. And so that's why this conversation is so important. And I think with resilience, a lot of it actually comes back to example. Oftentimes people talk to me and they say, oh, you know, there's nothing, no kind of guilt like parental guilt. And I think all of us never actually feel like we're doing a good enough job. But rather than asking, am I parenting the right way? A better question is, am I being the human that I want my children to grow up to be? Am I actually being resilient? If my children were just going to become like automatic images of who I am I happy with how they're engaging with the world? And so example is one of the most critical parts of all of this. But with resilience, other types of ways that you can do this is through two things. The first thing is what you actually reward in your home. So whether you're wanting to work on the character trait of rising after failure, or whether it is that you're wanting to deal in our home at the moment, with my five-year-old, we're trying to teach courage. And so he's five, his reward is a sticker chart. Obviously, if you have older children, it's more age appropriate. But rather than just rewarding good behavior, we actually now reward brave behavior. So every time he does something that I know was scary for him, he gets a reward, a sticker chart on his sticker chart. And so what you're rewarding, I think we need to expand our idea of who we want our children to be, because I think that the school system is doing an incredible job at training our children in some areas of life, but other areas, you know, if you want to be in business, you want to be entrepreneurial, you want to be creative, there needs to be another element there. Yes. And the other area is reading, and because books are the formative way of how children make sense of the world, is because they're able to perspective take. And we're the same. We're able to put ourselves in someone else's shoes, learn and glean from their wisdom without actually having to go through it. Mm-hmm. And so our brain is wired for story, and that's why metaphor story is just so powerful, because it bypasses all rational thought and resistance. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we're really passionate about stories, for that reason, and also because reading with your child is an important time of connection together between a parent and a child, and that also increases a child's resilience.
Yes.
And so those things together can be a great foundation of how you can just do simple repetitive things in your daily life. You know, what behavior are rewarding, or reading with your child. They're repetitive things that you can help develop resilience in your child.
Yeah, so, so true. And I think, you know, when you look at the situation that children have to go through, I think looking back and even what I am hearing about the school playground is one of, it can be the most critical, it can be the most mean, because kids just, you know, lay it all on the line often, and it can really make an impact. And sometimes as parents, it's really hard to be able to deal with that. But one of the things that I'm hearing is that it's so important to be able to recognize that, you know, and talk about the emotions as being okay to feel angry, sad, those. And that's just the first step. Then talking it through with them on how they can deal with it. Because I think a lot of times, as you said, even as adults, we go, you know what, just pick yourself up, move forward. This is something else too, and I would love you to speak into this too, that we're all different. Someone might bounce back far quicker than someone else. And how often that we can go, well, that person only took that long. Why are you still grieving, or whatever the situation is? It's giving ourselves permission to take whatever time that we need, but also be mindful what we say, because our words can inhibit, it can uplift, it can champion others too. Speak a bit more about this, because I know you're champion in this area, passionate about this too.
Absolutely. I think, you know, our personality temperament has a big deal to do with how we respond to events, and also our previous life experience. So there's a lot of research now around what we would call sensitivity. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if you've ever been, you know, maybe you yourself have felt it, or someone else being like, oh, they're just so sensitive, or they're overly emotional. Well, they've now found that it's a personality trait similar to introversion and extroversion. You can be highly sensitive. And the positive side of the trait is that you tend to be highly intelligent, you deeply process events, you deeply think through things, you're highly empathetic. One of the hardest, more challenging sides of the trait is that you really struggle with emotions and overstimulation. And so oftentimes people who have this sensitivity temperament do take longer to quote unquote bounce back. Doesn't mean it's not possible, it just means they need a bit more time and space.
Yeah.
I think as we're talking about adults, or even as older children, another part of what determines how we bounce back and the meaning that we make about situations is our past. You know, if we've had a particularly traumatic past, or a particular trauma around a certain event or situation, anything that triggers that thing is going to be more emotional. And so, for example, if you and I were to go through the same situation and say maybe you got bullied at school and I didn't, and we were to both go into the same situation where we're in a work environment where it seems like the boss was really aggressive, I will probably bounce back quicker from that than you might. Now, it doesn't mean that that's not possible for you to bounce back from. It just means that we need to be a lot kinder with ourselves, because there's a reason that you're responding like that. It's not just like you're sensitive or weak, or you're not, you know, whatever. It's actually, you've probably gone through something that maybe someone else hasn't gone through, or maybe you have a temperament, which can be a huge gift in your life, but that you have to learn how to steward.
Yeah. It's such a, you know, things that we need to navigate, especially when we talk about emotions. And then how often, if I look at some of, even in my own son, he's a very emotional guy. But here, you know, being Australian, well, you know, come on, mate, pick yourself up.
Yeah.
That's what, you know, we are taught. It's part of the Australian culture, about to laugh at yourself. But, you know, hear all of these young men who were growing up maybe on the footy field, the soccer field and all of that. If they're not encouraged to talk about their emotions, it's going to get squashed somehow. And then you've got all of these young men who are nurturers, not sure what to do with their emotions. And it can be a huge struggle. And I think, look, the work that you're doing is just so very important. Share more around how we can support you. When is your book launching? Tell us a little bit more about what it's about, all of that good stuff.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, so we're actually going to pre-launch on Kickstarter tomorrow. So Tuesday the 19th of June at 12 p.m. And it is a illustrated children's book. It's called The Boy Who Stood Up Tall. And this particular book is aimed at children around 4 to 8 years old. And it's about a little boy who's tender-hearted, who learns to stand up to his fears. And so the book is about redefining what courage actually looks like for children. As I talked about before, the difference between being fearless and having courage. Mm. Courage is feeling the fear and doing it anyway.
Yes.
And then it also gives the steps for children of what it means to stand up to your fears. And when you stand up to your fears, something magical happens.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Resilient Little Hearts. A little bit hard to spell, I know. But, yeah, we're excited to launch, and our campaign will be open all through June to July.
Yeah, fantastic. And, of course, we'll put all of those links on our show notes, ambitiousentrepreneurnetwork.com/TCE150. I just have this sense, Sarah, that this is one of a series, an ongoing series.
It is.
If I think about, as you're talking about books, and I'm thinking of the, you know, the, I had a girlfriend when years ago when my kids were younger, she would take all of the books of the, you know, the standard books that we would share with her. She said, I'm not having my daughters read Snow White and all that. They'll get taken off and, you know, this romantic, you know, Prince, whatever it's called. And you know what? I think just as the stories that we read, what impression are they you know, having on our children? And I can see these books and stories can really be empowering. So certainly encourage everybody to go there and to get behind the Kickstarter fundraising campaign. One of the things I'm doing for all of my guests, Sarah, and I'd love to do that for you too, is just close the show with a word of prayer. May I do that for you
awesome.
Too?
Absolutely.
Okay. Father God, thank you for the opportunity to speak with Sarah today. And Lord, that you are using her gifts and strengths and expertise in the area of resilience, and now being able to support our young, our children who really are our future. Lord God, I just pray that you will continue to bless the work that she's doing alongside her husband, that the Kickstarter program will just be the start of the impact of the resources, the books, the programs that will really support our younger generation, build resilience and build characters that are honouring to you, but that really can support them in becoming adults who really live life to the fullest and to the potential that you have destined for them. Father, we just want to pray for any parents who are listening and watching this show. We just pray that you'll give them the grace and the strength viz to support their children. Lord, being a parent can be so difficult, yet we're in such a strong position to be able to model the characters, or the character that really will help them grow into Christ-serving, Christ-honoring young women and men. And we ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. As I said, wishing you all the very best, continued blessings in the work that you're doing. As I said, it was interesting. Just the other day we were saying, you know, there's no resources that are teaching children resilience. And there you go. Here
wow.
you are. So
here
wanted
I
to
am.
share that with you.
Amazing.
People are talking about it, and can't wait to share more in your story with our community too. So thanks again for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
You've been listening to the Christian Entrepreneurs Podcast, brought to you by BeTheDifferenceMovement.com, changing the world one message at a time. Do you feel called to influence real change with your message? Join our supportive community of like-minded influencers, thought leaders, and disruptors at www.BeTheDifferenceMovement.com. That's BeTheDifferenceMovement.com.